So Nia, the Makba as it happens.
In conjunction with the seminar on artistic research, thinking and teaching art, between practice and theoretical speculation, Sonia interviews Jan Warwort, art critic, freelance writer, and lecturer at the Piet Zwart Institute in Rotterdam and the Royal College of Art in London. Sonia talks to Jan Warwort about artistic research, art criticism, and the relationship between art and work, among other things. Research is a quantifiable activity.
Research as an activity that produces an outcome and that you can measure, that you can quantify, and that therefore constitutes a recognizable object in this general economy of value.
Forms of art and thought that are research.
And I want to define a position that is not just a position of opposition. It's not just a rejection of a disciplinary system of containment and measurement and quantification, but I want to also formulate a perspective that would allow us to actually articulate why we get involved in art and also get involved in forms of art and thinking that could, under certain conditions, be described as research. Like, why would an artist want to go into an archive? Why would artists and critics sit down together around the table and discuss and use the medium of language to communicate something which again could also be described as knowledge?
Knowledge is experience.
I totally believe in forms of embodiment, of feeling and a knowledge that is not just information, but it is an experienced and a lived and a shared knowledge, you know, that you share and embody together with others, and through that you build your own kind of communities.
The artist is intellectual.
What does it mean for an artist to be an intellectual? Because very often it seems to me that when people talk about artistic research, they try to explain art by using a word that is somewhat a little bit more readily understandable. So we know what research means and we don't know what art means, so find out what art could be and what it could be useful for and what it could be good for. We explain it by relating it to an activity that seems to be productive. And this is a kind of this is a way of thinking that I oppose.
The intellectual beyond academia.
I think to be an intellectual is not necessarily to be an academic. As an academic, I think you can also be an intellectual. But I think to be an intellectual has to be something different. And it has, for me, it has nothing to do with the legitimation of knowledge.
The importance of feelings and language.
To be an intellectual, for me, it doesn't only have to do with the capacity to articulate, but also with the capacity to feel the resonances, to be a resonating body where things that might be in the air or that are transmitted from body to body inside the family. Language and feeling are two media through which an intellectual might embody something within a community.
The need for visibilization.
There is a need to talk, there is a need to make visible, there is a need to visibly, publicly embody the urgency of questions. At the same time, the question is whether the role model of the heroic artist or intellectual that makes visible certain things, even though it seems to be necessary, it still presupposes that all things could be rendered visible. And is that really so? So in that moment also my discourse breaks down, because I when I speak, I make things visible.
Teaching as an embodiment of ideas and possibilities.
When I teach, what is my qualification for teaching artists? And very often I think there is something about the kind of sustained embodiment of certain ideas and possibilities that the only qualification, not the only qualification, but what you communicate first of all is the existence of certain possibilities. Simply by embodying them and exemplifying them through your passions. and passions are things that cannot just be delivered like that.
Art criticism as a pattern of authority.
Very often people talk about it in the key of the crisis of criticism. So why are there no great critics anymore? Yeah, I would say like for the same reasons that dictators have a bad name. No, because somehow people who think and who have learned from art question traditional patterns of authority. Like when you understand the implications of a certain form of art, there is no need anymore for some kind of father figure to instruct you about good or bad taste. And throughout modernity, there has been this rebellion against a kind of a patriarchal society where there would be these authoritative tastemakers. And apart from that, I have to say from my own experience that it makes no sense to speak from that position.
The articulation of feelings within art criticism.
I believe if there's a role that a critic can play, it would have to be that of the intellectual. Someone who's a bit like a resonating body, who responds and develops his or her own thoughts in response to what's happening around it. It's a way of articulating a feeling through writing.
Criticism is crisis.
I sometimes go back to the etymology of the word criticism, which actually has the same root as the word crisis. So crisis is an undecided situation that demands for a judgment to be made. And for a judgment to become possible, you take the crisis before the criterion. The criterion is the place or the site where an undecided situation might become decidable.
Work is an evaluation process.
Work is performance and performance is work, but then performance seems to demand for constant evaluation. And we have the programs on TV where people who perform are evaluated, and I think that's the game that society is currently playing. You know? On the one hand, the notion of work is expanded, and on the other hand, it's linked to a constant ritual of evaluation that stops this expanded notion from work to have any explosive potential. Because on the one hand, you expand it only to put up the pressure to make people work more. And it can't go into any unexpected directions because it's kind of drawn back into the field of professionalization and evaluation.
The relationship between art and work.
You can see the same consequences in the art world. On the one hand, our definitions of what an artwork can be has been radically opened up by the 1960s. But through a project economy, it's actually drawn back into a field where it's suddenly linked to some kind of managerial competence. Art can be anything, and it could be delivered in any moment, but at the same time, precisely that is constantly being managed when people ask you, oh, we expect you have a great idea by Monday. Could you please send in your proposal by Monday? So there is the same thing at play, that the most free forms of art sometimes are the most heavily managed.
Ethical implications of artistic work.
People discuss the political implications of work and art a lot. And something that I feel that I want to insist on are certain ethical implications of the way how we in art deal with our desires. Because I feel artworks are little social contracts. Also in terms of seduction and offering something attractive, like attraction, generating desirability and attraction, like you create stuff that you want other people to want.
The articulation of human desires.
How to formulate an ethos through giving a form to desire is something that I believe totally matters in art when we do socially also reject regimes of moral authenticity. But what other propositions for living together can we offer by articulating out, by giving a form to our desires?
Art is a space for certain values.
Art is in a pretty difficult position because the one thing that most people understand about art is that it should be the place of value, sheer value. We don't know what art is, but we know one thing, that it has value. And the fact that some people spend some money on it would seem to prove that, well, there is value, and there's also the social value of being publicly exhibited. So it all seems to confirm this one belief that art is the place where value should be defined.
The impossibility of defining values within art.
But unfortunately, in that area, value is not defined by the standards that apply in all other fields. Even though all other fields somehow play a role. like the economical, the political, the spiritual, they're all somehow present in this field, but still none of their taxonomies really applies. No political effectivity? No. Does the economy actually tell you something about artistic value? Also not really, no. And spiritual value, well, you can't make the god appear any more than a priest can do. No, so it is the place that is assigned socially as the place where value should be defined, but at the same time, people insist on the impossibility of defining value.
Art as political provocation.
And I think fundamentally there is at the heart of that a political provocation to say, like, no, values here shall not be authoritatively given, but they shall be negotiated. And that is actually also something that Kant says in the beginning of his Critique of Judgment. Say, like, no, since we cannot reach full objectivity in aesthetic judgments, but they're also not fully subjective.
Makba.com.